Good evening, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, and I'm looking forward to spending another hour with you this week, having some fun, spreading some knowledge, sharing some stories, and they might not always be pleasant, but they're given to you as a way to commune with you, share experiences with you, and at the end of the day, or in our case, in the end of the hour, we're able to hopefully solve these problems, work through these things, and find a positive outcome or solution to what we're facing nowadays. You know, I always try and end on a positive note, and we talk about life situations, we talk about politics, we talk about psychological struggles, mental struggles, spiritual struggles, emotional struggles. And part of the reason that I'm so diverse is because the situations that we're all dealing with right now are very diverse in nature. And it's my goal to bring awareness to you for situations that you may not have yet encountered or you may never encounter, but to kind of keep your finger on the pulse of some things that are going on around, maybe outside your environment. And also so that if you're experiencing some of these same things, you have that, you know, that bond, we have that kinship where you're like, oh my gosh, I can identify with that. That happened to me the other day. And then we can work together to solve in both aspects. We can work together to solve these problems and to get you feeling better and to get you feeling happy and in a constant and utter state of joy, irregardless of the situations around you. That's really the goal, is to help you to feel better. Even though some of my topics are heavy and they're emotional to listen to maybe at times, there are things that we need to be aware of. So that's what I'm about, and I'm thankful to all of you for joining me again for another week. I am on 3 networks right now. I am still looking for other ways to branch out and spread my messages to more and more people, and I'm always extremely thankful for the platforms that I have and am able to utilize, and for their support and for your support. And so I'm going to give my little blurb here in the beginning instead of at the intermission today to please, if you can, support the network. We're totally listener funded. So whatever you can do to support the network would be greatly appreciated. Please contact the owner, buy him a cup of coffee, send him a couple bucks, whatever you're able to do. We love you for it, and we appreciate you for it. And we're so very thankful for the opportunity to be able to keep bringing you all these cool shows, right? So, all right, this week we're going to talk about some experiences that I've had personally, again, because I want to share with you what's going on in my world to see if you're experiencing the same thing. Even though many people that I talk to are experiencing the same types of situations, even if you're a shut-in and you're not able to get out much and you just don't have the opportunity to go out of your home and go to stores and go shopping, or maybe you choose not to. There are a lot of people out there that are becoming more and more insulated and becoming almost hermits. And, you know, I've lived that lifestyle and I cherish it. And there's a lot to be said for communing with nature and being out on your own. And I love that time. But, you know, there are times I need to go shopping and get things, and it's really nice to be in an environment where everything's close and convenient for about a hot minute, and then I'm over it. I like finding what I gotta find, and I like shopping where I want to shop and having it all being close and convenient. But then when I had the experiences, especially lately, that I've been having in these stores and dealing with customer service representatives, gotta tell ya, it makes me want to just run back to my mountains and never come back, you know, just to be out of society. And, you know, that's the way I'm guided anyway. It's just the way I'm built. I've always been kind of a loner, and I've never needed, like, a whole bunch of people around me to feel secure and to feel complete. Family, absolutely, you know. But other than that, as many people as I know and as many acquaintances as I have, and my goodness, as many clients as I've had over the years, my circle has always remained quite small and insulated and has grown smaller over the last at least 5 years, I would say. People change, you know, their personalities change, their mindsets change. The whole political struggle the past several years has created, as you know, so many rifts across society, and it's truly a time to come together and unite and be with people that you can appreciate and that appreciate you for your talents, gifts, and abilities, and just in general, and people that will support you in your endeavors and that you can in turn support in theirs, and to make the world not only a better place, but to make sure that you have everything that you need should trouble arise. And more than that, to have just a peaceful, loving, fulfilled environment where you're living the good life. You might not have the fancy cars and the big house, or maybe that's what your goals are and that's what you want to manifest, and that's fine too, but at these times that we're living in, I wouldn't suggest buying a place in the city if you could help it. However, whatever makes you happy, as long as it's not hurting anybody else, do that. Strive for that. You want to reach your goals, and you can and will get there. And I know that it seems impossible, and I know that the odds seem insurmountable right now, but what you need to understand is that this is all about energy and vibes, and it's a collective energy and vibration. And I've talked about this, and I've talked about this, but finally, I'm starting to see and hear videos after all these years, after all this time, of other people who are lecturing or talking to or teaching people or attempting to teach people about these things that I've been talking about for years, which is, it's amazing, because that means that, yes, we are waking up, we're ascending, if that's a new age term, but we're moving forward. A lot of us are moving forward, and we're raising the vibration of the planet, because the more that that energy spreads, and the more that people latch on to the mindset that, look, your total vibrational energetic makeup is connected to everybody else on this planet, and if we all raise our consciousness collectively and stay in a feeling of joy and balance and peace and love, we're unstoppable, and people will collectively as a whole start to recognize their wildest dreams and have that peace and have that inner joy all the time, irregardless of outside circumstances. Alternate realities, I'm seeing a lot of videos about that too, and I'm doing a lot of research into topics that are directly related to that and just kind of associated with that. And, you know, it's, we got to think outside the box. There are a lot of things that have been hidden from us that we don't understand and that we don't yet know, but that will eventually come to light. It may not be in this life, but guess what? There's a lot of stuff that I didn't think would come to fruition, to the open public arena, as it were, in this life, that I've known inherently since I was a kid, that are starting to come out and come to life. So who knows? Life is like a bowl of cherries. Well, I guess that's up to your perception of it. The goal is to make the most of it, right? And be the best person that you can be and find joy and peace in everything that you do. And it's how I try to live my life, even though I get frustrated at situations. But yeah, so that's what I wanted to talk to you about, is some personal experiences I had this week and my frustrations with some of the things that are going on solely and completely because of the idiocy in our government. that's really where it all stems from. But as a result of that, and as things trickle downhill, because of the way that our youths were being educated and are being educated, and because of the forgiving society, everybody gets a trophy no matter how much you do or what you do, or because of the fact that we've created a society of lazy people. And even our older folks, and the folks that are my age, because I'm not older, don't care what you say, I'm not, and you can't make me be, I don't feel older. But even the people my age, it's like, where is their work ethic anymore? They don't care. So all of these things are directly a result and solely a result of, yeah, stuff that our government and the bad guys have pulled, and policies that they put in place and that they haven't put in place. And I'm going to expound upon a story that I started to talk about a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to give you an update first of all. So how many people love their local power company? I shared the story a couple of months ago about my struggles in trying to get a smart meter removed from my home when I had already, you know, filled out this online form saying that I didn't want it. They came and put it in anyway, and then it was literally almost an act of Congress to try and get it back out and changed over. And I've been struggling with some personal issues with family that are having some health issues. And as a result, I'm just kind of revisiting everything. I'm looking at the broad scope. I'm looking at anything that it could be, or things that could have triggered, you know, the health things that are going on. And I understand that I'm being very vague, and I'm doing that on purpose because I'm just not ready to divulge. And it's just really not important as to what's going on. But just suffice it to say that there are some memory issues and things like that going on with a very close family member. And I just wasn't feeling right, you know. So I'm back visiting with my family, and I'm in this environment, and I'm not feeling 100%, right? So I was told that the smart meter was taken off of my house here, and I bought a device that you plug into the wall that was like 70, 80 bucks that came pretty highly recommended. I have friends that have used it and recommended it to me to stop the bad energy, 5G, whatever it is, from coming in the house. And I think it's because of that I've definitely noticed a remarkable improvement on many fronts in regards to both how I feel when I'm here, but also my family members. But I'm still noticing some difficulty in other areas. So I'm taking another look at this. And intuitively, I feel like I'm missing something with this whole smart meter. Like there's something I'm missing, even though I have the plug-in thing and they tell me the smart meter was taken off my house. And now I'm looking at the bill, and the bill looks different. It looks like a smart meter bill, if that makes sense. So I call the company, and I get somebody who barely speaks English on the line. And he tells me that, after putting me on a brief pause, that my smart meter was installed on such and such a date. And if you remember, if you listen to that show, or maybe go back to the archives and check it out, they told me that they took the smart meter off of my home and replaced it with the same type of meter I had before. Which, I haven't been in the home full time in a really long time, and my family lives here, and so, you know, but I've been in this house like 15, 20 years, and I never realized, I didn't recognize a lot of issues with the old meter. Maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention to some things that were happening as a result of the old meter, but it definitely wasn't to the degree that the new one, like, that you could, like, feel it. I mean, I could feel it. My family could feel it. Headaches increased. Nausea increased. Tinnitus increased. Restlessness, anxiety, crankiness, sleeplessness, all of that. increased in the amount of time that they put the other meter in against my wishes. And then the amount of time that I had to wait for them to take it back out and replace it with the same meter that was on the house before. So I asked to speak to a supervisor. The guy puts me on hold for 20 minutes, and they close at 7 o'clock, and it was about 3 to 7 that the phone went click, and they hung up on me. And as I said, if you listen to my other show, you'll see that that seems to be a pattern. That's what they've done to me every time I've called, pretty much, that I asked to speak to a supervisor. They'll put me on hold for anywhere between 20 and 45 minutes, an hour, and then they'll disconnect me. And sometimes it happens 2 and 3 times in the course of a day. So I figured, okay, well, they're closed, so let me call a different department. My bill's due anyway. Called the department and asked to speak to the billing, you know, through the automated system. Got a hold of the billing department. And I said to the lady, let me just pay my bill since I have you on the phone. But, by the way, can I have a breakdown on my bill? Can you look it up on the computer screen and see if I was charged a fee for the meter reader to come out and read my meter, because that would tell me right there that, you know, either I had the smart meter or I didn't have the smart meter. And she couldn't look at my bill from that department. She didn't have access to look at my bill from that department. So the next morning I called and I asked to speak to a person, and I told her that I wanted to speak to a supervisor. After they did determine that there was a smart meter on my home, and I'm like, holy crow, I thought this was all resolved, but thankfully I did follow my intuition and just kept thinking about it and called them back and did some more research, because yeah, there's still a smart meter on my home. So I asked to speak to a supervisor, and I waited another 20, 25 minutes, and a woman got on the phone who was extremely cocky, to say the least, and she kept talking over me and raising her voice and didn't seem at all interested in what I had to say, and basically just was very self-righteous and indignant and matter-of-fact and egotistical. And what I found out, the curious thing to me was, what I found out was the meter that I've had on my home since I've owned it the last 15, 20 years was actually also a smart meter. Now, this is something that I hadn't been privy to before. I had no idea that I had a smart meter on my house all of these years. But because of the hype about it, several years ago, I started checking into it and researching it. And I was told that that kind of technology wasn't available in my area right now, but that, you know, they would do what they did. You know, they would come around and let you know that they were going to put them in when they were ready to install the new ones that are supposed to be so dangerous. I actually thought I was pretty safe. But nah. I guess a lot of us, most of us, probably 99.9% of us that didn't opt out of it back then, have a type of smart meter on our house. But it just, you know, it wasn't causing enough damage, I guess, for me to pay attention to it. And I didn't know anything about it back then anyway. So when I told them I wanted it switched back to the old meter that I used to have, but I also emphatically stated in many times, in many conversations with many reps over the phone, trying to get this issue resolved, that I do not want any type of smart meter on my house. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it. Well, pretty much they got me on a technicality, right? So when they reinstalled the same type of meter that was there before, it was still a smart meter. So the supervisor informed me of that and basically tried to shame me and make me feel like I was an idiot because I didn't know that before. But what I told her was, you know, I have family that's having health issues directly, I believe, as a result of this device, and I want no smart meter at all. I don't want the one that you had on there before that was a little, you know, maybe not as dangerous as this one, and that's my opinion, but I have documented cases of health issues that I have encountered and also my family has encountered as a result of these devices. and I want it off my home. And oh, by the way, three conversations ago, the guy told me that he'd waive the charge and I wouldn't have to pay for it. So she turns around and she says to me, well, they did. They replaced it and put the old smart meter back on your house, and they did waive the fee for that. So he kept his end of the bargain. And I'm like, I said, okay, but in all these hours of conversations with all of these different reps, it literally was a 2-month process to try and get my old type smart meter, how ironic, back on the house. Nobody ever told me that the one that they were going to put back on the house was not a smart meter. They all, every single one of them, led me to believe that it was the old school meter on the house. And quite honestly, I'm not that technological. So when they asked me on the phone and they had me take a picture and they had me read the numbers and they told me it was the old style smart meter, and I'm thoroughly convinced, and I do have a really good memory, folks. I usually don't miss much. I do forget things here and there, but as a general rule, anybody who knows me will tell me your memory is like a steel trap. You know, you remember so much. How do you remember all those details? Well, I distinctly remember the last girl that I spoke to before the meter was, after the last meter was replaced, that there was no smart meter on my home. And so here again, I told myself, I guess I got to call a lawyer because, you know, you people have lied to me. You've not been truthful. I've spoken to umpteen reps, and you know, they've all told me the same thing, and they've all told me that it wouldn't be a smart meter that they were putting back on my house, but yet it was. Well, it's not the same as the old, it's not the same type of smart meter, but yeah, they put the smart meter back on your house. And I'm like, but I've told every single person in every conversation, I do not want any type of smart meter on my home. They should have offered me the opportunity at that time to, and at least told me, hey, look, you know, you already got one on your home, but it's not one of the newer ones. And, you know, if you want that changed out, well, that's a different thing you have to do. So essentially, we argued back and forth, and she told me, well, I spoke my piece, and she tried to argue, and I said, listen, what can I do to fix this? And she's like, well, you got to fill out this form. You got to fill out this form. So here we go again. Fill out this form, wait for it to get into the system, and then wait for somebody to come out and change it. And they want to charge me like $86 to do that, and then my bill will be going up, not $11 and change a month, but $12 and change a month to have a totally non-smart meter. Now, the thing that really irritates me with this, more than everything that I've had to go through and all of the drama to have this happen, is number one, I'm not paying for that. They might think I'm paying for that, but I told her that I want her to pull all of the tapes of all of the conversations. And while it may be true that I told them I wanted the old kind of meter back on the house, I also emphatically stated over and over again, I want no smart meter on my home. I don't want the technology on my house at all. And my family and I have been suffering from health issues. And I also told them that I wanted to have the tapes. And of course, she told me we don't give our tapes to the general public. And because I had told her that I was considering contacting a lawyer, and I am. Not something I would ever consider before in my whole life, but we're talking about my family's well-being and health. We're talking about my well-being and health. And I'm totally disgusted and very upset at the fact that this has been in my home for years, and detrimentally, what has it done to my kids and myself over the years that I wasn't aware of, right? So at any rate, I got to fill out this form, wait 5 days for it to get in the system, 3 to 5 days, and then call them to make an appointment to have it changed out. Has anybody else had this experience? Does anybody else know? Like, did you guys know that the meter before the recent changeouts and the rollouts of the really bad 5G meters that are out there that they're putting in now, was everybody aware that the old ones were smart meters as well? Because I had no idea. And maybe I just missed that. But it's something that I think people need to be aware of. You may opt out of this new one, but do you already have it on your house and it's just not as bad as the new one they're saying that's coming out? Because if so, if your family is struggling with memory loss, loss of balance, ringing in the ears, mood changes, anxiety, maybe some depression, headaches, joint aches maybe, any of those types of things, but almost Alzheimer, dementia at times type symptoms, forgetting things. I would encourage you to take a look at that and see. And if you do, and I bet that you do, have a smart meter on your home, and maybe just not the new style yet, or maybe they've gone out and changed that while you were out at work one day or going shopping, I would seriously consider having that taken off and getting the really old school where the meter man's got to come out and read it. And you know what? In my area, it's $12 a month. Is it a lot in today's economy? Well, everything's a lot in today's economy, but it's worth it for me to pay that $12 to ensure that at least there won't be any further damage. I'm not sure that this can't be reversed. I'm doing my natural healing. I'm working on different modalities with my family. We're pursuing different options medically to get this resolved, hopefully. But, you know, how much of this is permanent damage? And I do feel as though maybe not all of it, you know, because part of it's genetics, part of it's a lot of things, you know, your diet, etc. But I am thoroughly convinced that at least part of this issue that my family is having is as a result of that technology in our homes. So something to be aware of, especially if you're in a city or in an apartment complex type environment. I mean, these houses are pretty close together. So you have to realize that, you know, you're getting it, and then, you know, all of this 5G stuff is all around you, right? It's all over. So do what you can to protect yourself and minimize it as much as you can. Another thing I wanted to talk about quick too is please, please, please use your headphones on your phone. Do not keep your phone up against your ear. And try and limit the smart devices in your home. I understand that those refrigerators are fancy and they're more convenient, and the microwaves and, you know, smart TVs, smart thermometers, smart refrigerators. Guys, these are all silent killers. They are all silent killers in varying degrees. They're emitting energy that is harmful to both you, your families, and also your pets. Even, I think, because they're a part of nature, your plants, your house plants, anything that's alive. And everything does vibrate, whether inanimate or not. Everything vibrates with energy. So it's affecting everything. Please protect yourselves as much as you can in regards to that. Get rid of all that stuff. Minimalize it. Use it as little as possible. And when you have to use these technologies, protect yourself. Get one of those protector switches. Look it up. Just do your research. It's easy. I did it. You can do it too. I gave all of this information back several months ago when I did the podcast on technology. Look it up, listen to it, and you'll find all of the links there that you need. But going back to the customer service issue, that's another thing that seemed to be a theme this week. The lack of customer service and the lack of personal pride in people's jobs is another issue that I encountered this week. And I talked about it last week. It's something that's been cropping up. But literally, folks, it seems as though wherever I go, whatever I do, whomever I encounter in my travels and in my daily activities, when I have to interact with others, whether it be in a supermarket setting or to pay a bill or just in community, I am running up against so many people that either don't care about what they're doing, don't know about what they're doing in regards to customer service, or just they've got that deer in the headlights look. And so I wanted to share my experience with you There have been so freaking many. I talked about the eyeglass one last week, but here's another thing that happened to me. I actually called a Hobby Lobby. They put a new one in my town. I was really excited about it. Even though I know they're woke, there are things that I can get there that I can't get anywhere else. So I called and I asked if they had an item in stock that was on their website, and the representative said, yes, we have that. And I said, well, I'm in the middle of something right now, and I can't leave, and I have to shower before I come down there. I was doing yard work. And I said, is there any way you can put that aside for me? Well, yeah, absolutely. We can put that aside for you, and we'll hold it for you at the front. And I said, well, what time will you hold it till? Because I'm not ready to come right now. I have some things I want to get done. But there was only one left, so I wanted to make sure that I could secure it, even if I offered to prepay. And she's like, no, you don't need to do that. We'll just put it up front. And I said, okay, well, do you have like a customer service counter? Because I didn't remember seeing one at Hobby Lobby in all the years that I shopped there. But like, we're up front while I find it. And she goes, just go to the register. They'll know where it is. And I said, yeah, but you have several registers. How am I supposed to know which one to go to? And how do I know that the rep will know that it's there? And she assured me. She said, don't worry about it. I will bring it up front myself. It'll be there till 8 o'clock tonight. I can't hold it till tomorrow. But as long as you get there before 8 o'clock, it'll be there. And I'll let all of my girls know up front where the item is up there so they'll be able to help you. Thanked her profusely, went about my business, took a shower. They closed at 8 o'clock. I got there at 25 after 7. I waited for the lady at the register to wait on her person that was checking out. And then I told her what I wanted, and she gave me a deer in the headlight look and started to ruffle around, you know, like a little raccoon under her counter and couldn't find anything. And then she barely walked to the next register, kind of like just bent down and peeked. And she said, well, I don't see it here. So I told her the story again. And she got on the phone and called somebody in the back, waited a minute, moment of silence, got back, hung up, got back to me, and she said, yeah, so nobody knows where it is. And I said, you know, honestly, I said, this is the third time I've had a negative experience in the store in like a month and a half. You guys haven't even been open 2 months, and this is the third instance that I've had that was a negative experience with your company. I said, gosh, well, I'm feeling like I really need to call corporate because I'm just not getting the customer satisfaction that I'm used to with your chain. And the next location is 45 minutes away. And she just kind of looked at me and was like, well, she kind of shrugged her shoulders like, whatever. And she's like, well, we don't have it, so I don't know what to tell you. Okay. So I walked down back to the fabric, and there was a girl, which was the general department I knew of what I was looking for. I knew it was either to the left or right of fabric somewhere. And now I'm trying to find this, you know, on the off chance that there's one left on the shelf. And the girl waited on her people, and then she was acting really weird. She was like giggling to herself, laughing to herself, talking to herself as she was cutting the fabric. And I'm just, am I like in the twilight zone over here? Like, what's going on? And so I told her my dilemma, and she said, you know, there was a shift change at 4 o'clock. She goes, I bet the woman didn't tell the other people at shift change that you had an item up front, and at the same time we both said, and they reshopped it. And she said, yep. She said they probably put it back on the shelf that it was a reshop. She goes, so let me try and help you find the item. And I said, okay. So we walked around, and we walked around, and we walked around, and we walked around some more. And after about 6 minutes of wandering the store, I finally said to her, maybe I misunderstood you. Was I supposed to like wait at the fabric counter while you located the item? Or are we just randomly wandering around the store? The store's closing at 8, and I had some other items that I needed to shop for before you close. And she's like, well, I can't find it. I don't know where it is. I was just, I was in utter disbelief. It's like, and I'm, you know, as calm as I try to be, my blood pressure was rising a little bit. I was getting a little aggravated, and I was just taking deep breaths and trying to stay in check and in balance. And I was like, well, I need to speak to somebody with authority. Can you like, she goes, yeah, I'm calling my manager right now. I'm going to call my manager. So she ducks in a side door, and I could hear her talking on the phone. And, you know, and she told him that the customer was getting upset legitimately. And she comes back out, and she says, well, he'll be over in a minute. And I said, listen, I said, not for nothing, but this is like the third negative experience in less than 2 months, and I'm just, what's going on with you? Like, why? You know, I said, I don't mean to take it out on you, so please don't misinterpret. I said, but I'm not understanding why the customer service aspect is so bad here in relation to other stores. And she said to me, well, truthfully, she said, we don't have the best training. She goes, the training lacks a lot. She said, but like in my example, she said, one day I'm up at the register, one day I'm in fabric, one day I'm in this department, one day I'm in that department, and they don't give us time to familiarize ourselves with the store. So it's really hard to find stuff because we're constantly being pushed around and moved around and nobody knows where anything is, and the training isn't that good. So then the manager came over and I told him my concerns, and he spent about 6 minutes apologizing to me and making excuses. And finally I'm like, dude, you guys close at 8? I have to shop for other items. Can you at least, you know, point me in the direction of what it is I was looking for to begin with? Because there's something else important I need to get while I'm here. All right. So, So we walked over and he found, there were two of the items on the shelf, not one like the lady on the phone said earlier. So I could have just come down and found it and grabbed it anyway and saved myself the aggravation, but who knew? Of course, another... whatever. You know what I'm saying. She said there was one. I wanted to save it. There were two on the shelf. So then he helped me with the other item, and he says, well, you don't need to call corporate because I have done everything I can to try and help you. And I said, well, I said, I just don't feel the need. I said, after 3 times having a bad experience with this store, that I have to drive, you know, I don't want to have to drive 45 minutes to the store that I've always got really good customer service at. I said, because I'm going to do that. I said, there's also a Michaels and there's also a Joann Fabrics. I said, so I'm just going to switch my business entirely and support them from now on, because why would I come here again? And he's like, you know what? I used to work at that store. He goes, honestly, he said, I know what you're saying, and I apologize. And I said, you know what? It seems to be like it's mostly the young people. I said, although the lady at your register was older. She was mid-30s, early 40s, and she had definitely had attitude. I said, where is customer service nowadays? I said, I just feel like it's non-existent. I said, but not only that, I feel like people just don't care. And they're rude. And I said, and quite honestly, I feel like a lot of it is the youth. And he went nuts when I said that. He's like, yep, absolutely. It's the youth. And you don't even know. He says, I will address that with the lady at the counter, absolutely, right after you leave. He said, and I'll call a meeting tomorrow. And he says, and I'll let everybody know that when shift change comes, communication's key. We need to share information. And then he actually followed me up to the register and stood off to the side and listened to the conversation between myself and the cashier to make sure that she was friendly to me. And I made a kind of a gesture in his direction to let him know that I was standing there, and smiled and said thank you. And he said thank you in return. And so that ended well. And I was thankful that I at least got some sort of acknowledgement from him, and also learning a little bit about the other employee's plight made me feel for her situation. So it was just another example of what I'm finding on a daily basis as far as customer service after the NIMO thing. I'm going to take a quick break. This music is provided by my good buddy Pat Carr. Pat Carr is an original musician from Louisiana. Check him out on SoundClick, Reverb Nation. He's all over the place. You can get a hold of him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. And if you'd like to support the network by being a sponsor, please consider being a superstar and putting your ads on our network, whether it be for my show or any others. And if you don't have a commercial, please get a hold of the owner, and I'm sure he and the producer can make something for you that you'd be totally happy with. We'll be back after this. Thanks for listening. we're back. That was Just the Thing by my good buddy Pat Carr. By the way, if you need to get a hold of me for anything, if there's anything that I can help you with spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, please reach out and contact me at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, _heart@outlook.com. So here we are in the second half of the Positude Podcast, and I wanted to tell you one more story, and then we'll figure out how we're going to help each other to help the situation as a whole. And hopefully to let you know you're not alone if you're experiencing these things as well, that it seems to be on a pretty widespread scale, unfortunately. My final story was at the local public library here. Because I'm traveling and I don't have a printer set up, I had to make a copy. And so I went down, and I do have a library card, but I didn't have it with me, and I knew that they could look it up by my address and phone number. So as I walked into the establishment, the first thing that I noticed was that there were a plethora of what appeared to be Mexican men that were leaving the lobby of the library, and they were pretty boisterous. They were not speaking English, and they were pretty lascivious. They were looking every female up and down that entered and left the building, and they were just not very quiet, not very respectful of a library setting. So I made note of that, and I walked in and told them what I wanted, and I said, you can look up my card for me to be able to use the computer because I have to get onto my email to make a copy. Now, previously, in all the years that I've been a member of this library, which is about 25, I've always had to make my identity known and either presented my card or had them look it up. And then I would go over to the computer, and they've always told me, okay, so when you go to the computer, there's a half hour maximum, and whatever copies are made would be, they'd print off behind the counter so that one of the library people would have to go and get it and then count out the copies, and then I would pay and be on my way. Well, they said, we don't need your identification. And I said, what do you mean you don't need my identification? You don't need my library card or know who I am or anything? And they said, no. And I said, well, why not? I'm a taxpayer in this community. I have property here. I have a home here. And, you know, why aren't you asking for ID anymore? And what do you mean that there's not any kind of limit on the computer? So basically anybody can walk in off the street with no identification and can use the library computers all day, every day if they so choose. And there's no identification given. There's no way to prove. I said, what happens if, you know, they're looking up bad stuff on the computer? And the one lady said to me, there were two behind the counter, and the one lady said to me, well, you know, we've never been able to monitor what they're using. And I said, no, yeah, and you've got that auto-erase thing so that their history usually gets erased after they use it. I said, but still in all, I said, if you're not asking for identification and they damage or ruin the equipment, I said, that's our taxpayer dollars that are supporting that. So if they break something, how do you know it's broken? You don't have any recourse if you don't know who it was that was at that terminal and you're not keeping track of anything anymore. And they both said, well, we're trying to get that instituted again. And the one lady looked at me pretty forlornly and she said, unfortunately, we're subject to the state laws and the rules that are put out there. And so we don't have a choice right now. We can't do anything about it. And so I sat down and I got on my email and I printed out what I needed, and I'm listening to the printer, and the printer's not behind the counter where they work. There's one that's sitting there behind the counter, which I thought was the one my stuff was going to go to, but no, it went out into the main lobby. So now anybody could go grab their copies off the machine, and then you bring them up to the counter on a pretty much a trust level and tell them how many copies you have and you pay for it. So there again is another opportunity, and I know that I'm sounding quite negative, but another opportunity for someone to come and damage that equipment that the taxpayers have paid for. And then, you know, you're trusting them to tell you how many copies. It may be because we had a conversation and they recognized my face, and that may be why they asked me how many copies I had and didn't physically count them. But I can remember in years past, even though I had been going there for 15, 20 years, they still would take my copies and count them before they gave me a fee of, you know, so that it kept everybody honest, you know, but there was none of that. So I was pretty upset by that. And I'm thinking to myself, it's just another way that the government has intervened and to heck with our tax dollars and the rules that were already in place, which I thought were reasonable, not only for time purposes so that someone couldn't come in and sit down and monopolize a computer all day just because they had nothing better to do, but the time restrictions helped the customer flow so that everybody had a chance to utilize the machinery and also to minimize what I would consider possible damage to the equipment, because you know there was some sort of fallback. They knew who you were, they had your information. If something got broke, they knew where to look, and aside which the copier machine. And I know that that seems like a small thing in the grand scheme of things, but to me it was just another affront to us, the people that live here, the people that pay taxes here, the people that support that library. I've participated in so many fundraising events for them and given money to buy their book bags and given extra money in the tip jar over the years just to support them, donated extra books. And anybody can come in here, and illegal or legal, and just pretty much have their way with the facility. I didn't think that that was right. So what do we do to change all of this? If you're having these same types of experiences and you're encountering the horrible customer service, and let me tell you, when I say literally, it happens on a daily basis. It's whether or not I call to pay a bill. It's whether I'm at a checkout line. It seems to be all around me, and I don't live in a fairly large city when I am residing in this house, when I'm staying here. But, and even in the country setting, you know, just in the small town shops, I'm encountering this, and the customers and the people that are patronizing these locations, these places, just the whole energy is just not good, right? So what I've started to do is something that I used to do specifically in spiritual warfare, and when I was working on a case, is I've said my prayers and protection before I leave the house. I've started to do that again. And I bless myself in my car, and, you know, that was something that's kind of, you know, intrinsic. It's built into me, so I would do that anyway. But now I'm even more stringent in my practice. So when I do my prayers and meditation in the morning, I also throw out the blanket of protection and put the energy out there that I'm wanting to have a good day. I want everything to go smoothly. I don't want to have any interruptions. I see everything going smoothly. And when I have to deal with people personally, I always now am trying to be conscious of the energy that I'm putting forth before I even approach them with a complaint. So I've got a positive energy flow going, and I'm visualizing the exchange going smoothly in a manner that's conducive to my time and conducive to my energy. And I'm also helping to spread knowledge at the same time. You know, I'm bringing matters to attention that obviously the people at the library know all about it and they can't do anything about it, but it's a voice that's being heard expressing my discontent so that they're allowed to bring that to their supervisors. And at their board meetings, hopefully these things get passed along where the general public is also expressing discontent at their personal situation, you know, at that location and just in libraries as a whole across the states. So spreading awareness, keeping the positive attitude, visualizing things going smoothly and that any snafus get resolved in a timely and efficient manner. And also when I'm on the phone, I'm sending that energy across the phone lines. You know, positive energy, but also I'm maintaining my composure, absolutely, but also, you know, I'm sticking to my guns. You know, I'm not letting them walk all over me and getting away with something because simply they're a power company monopoly and the people in charge have an ego issue. What is this coming from, and systemically, what is the issue? Well, like we talked about earlier, it's definitely nobody cares about their job anymore. Half of them don't want to be there. They don't feel as though they're getting paid enough and they're worthy of much more. And so, you know, there's that attitude in the younger generation. We've spoken about that before. We know what the issue is there, in conjunction with the fact that how many of these people that I'm dealing with on a regular basis are you dealing with on a regular basis that have taken the jab and it's absolutely changed something within their psyche and in their mindset. So I've also learned, and this you may find helpful as well, to speak slowly and clearly, as though I were speaking to a developmentally disabled person or a small child. And I've also repeated myself so that there's should be no room for error. It should be quite clear what my goals are and what I'm wishing to accomplish. And literally the old adage of killing them with kindness, because when they're afflicted, and I do believe, as we spoke about before, that there's a component in the jab, i.e. luciferase, that makes these people be nasty and mean, and I don't think that they're aware of what they're doing. I think there's just definitely some sort of spiritual affliction involved in some of these cases. To kill them with kindness, to maintain my composure and to be kind and respectful but firm, and let them know that, you know, they're not going to get away with whatever it is they're trying to get away with, and I'm going to stand my ground. And I think if more of us do that and also vocalize our discontent and our displeasure about the lack of customer service and about the fact that we're taxpayers here and we're paying for something in a community that should not be open-ended for anybody to come in and potentially destroy. And while I know that that's a negative approach to take, going under the assumption that that could happen, I feel the energy of these people around me, and they're just not good people. They're not good people. You know, they're looking to, they don't care, they don't have any respect for property that's not theirs and something that they didn't pay for. And even if it's something that they paid for, they didn't pay for it, we did. So how much respect are they going to have for stuff like that? Probably not a lot. So these are ways that we can help to combat some of these things, and talking about it and sharing our experiences with others, vocalizing and getting it out there, I think helps too, so that we understand that we're not alone in these situations. But absolutely changing the vibration and changing the energy and going out with an even more positive mindset. Also, spending more time balancing and more time in prayer and meditation whenever possible is definitely something that I need to do. Being so busy as I've been, I haven't, you know, been taking care and doing my self-care, admittedly, as much as I need to. And so I'm going back to basics with that as well. I'm spending the extra time that I need to take care of myself, starting here this week and continuing on. So balancing, having that quiet time, having, even if it's not time in relative complete nature, but going somewhere where you can hear a little bit of nature, or put on some headphones and listen to some meditative music or some prayerful music, and doing your work to get yourself back to balance is even more important today. I mean, look, they're putting stuff in chemtrails, they're putting stuff in the food. It's an all-out attack. We all know this, so we have to make sure that we're even more proactive in taking care of ourselves, our families, and our bodies. So grounding in nature wherever possible. And if you're in a city environment, you're not able to get out in the dirt and ground, go get a tub of dirt, get a foot tub worth of dirt, and soak your feet in that. You know, just literally put your feet in the ground in a basin and do your clearing work, do your energetic clearing work, in that dispelling negative energy and entities, and doing things that make you feel more positive. And you may say to me, well, I don't have an environment that I can do things that are positive. Well, engage in something that gives you pleasure, whether it be reading a book, drawing on a sketch pad, writing in a journal, in putting on headphones or listening to calming, soothing sounds of nature or meditative music absolutely helps. Positive scriptures actually really help too, believe it or not. Putting those on before you go to bed at night. Remember to take your breaths. Remember to do stretches. Get some form of exercise, even if it's just walking around in circles or doing some calisthenics. there are many videos and apps out there on the phones that you can utilize to get that exercise, even if you're in a confined space. So telling me that you don't have a space to exercise is hogwash, because I've done exercise in my living room for years, and it's been very effective and very helpful to both my body and my demeanor, as well as turning off technology whenever possible. And, you know, listening to music or listening to prayers is obviously technology, but any time that you can not utilize the other appliances in your house, shut off the lights, anything that you can do that way will help you. And let's keep our balance together. Let's pull each other through this together. Let's share our experiences and rejoice in the fact that we did not go down that path, hopefully. We did not take that poison into our bloodstreams, and so we can form our own thoughts and our own opinions. And because we can do these things, we can also find and maintain our balance. And if we get out of whack, bring ourselves back to balance through prayer and meditation and visual guided imagery and all of that. Pick up some tuning forks or some singing bowls. Sound healing is amazing. And put on your headphones if you're not in an environment where you can have total peace. If there's distractions around you, get some cheap headphones and listen to either trusted subliminals or some comp music or nature sounds or scripture. And for those of us that are in nature, if you're still using technology, you're really not in nature. So shut as much of that off as you can whenever you can. Even if you live in the middle of the woods, there's still technology. Do regular cleanses and body flushes and toxic flushes. Research all of that. Eat the right foods, drink lots of water, and take care of each other. Thanks all for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.